Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. It is the Red Men TV podcast. Still in lockdown, but still smiling. I'm Paul Machin. I am joined for this one by, first and foremost, Mr. Ross Chanley.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Good, good, good. We also got Mr. Tom Dutton.
Hello. I decided not to be on it last week. Gave Edel a shot, and now I'm on it with Edel. So there we go.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, Edel's took his opportunity big time there. And Chris, who was up till 3 o'clock in the morning, trying to figure out why everything we've been trying to stream on Football Manager has gone catastrophically wrong and not even on the pitch. Is a little bit worn out. So he's taking a back seat this week. And yes, we've already referenced him. So let's give him a big shout out. Edel, welcome.
Hi, guys. How you all doing? You okay?
Excellent.
Getting there.
Right,
Edel, I'll come to you with the warm-up question first, then, mate. Callum Buck asked the question, would you rather every shirt you ever wore be itchy or every piece of bog roll you use be too thin?
I love the change in Errol's face thing when he said happy. As soon as you mentioned bog roll, you're like,
I know. To be honest, I probably would settle for the bog roll, though, you know. Because even though it's thin, you can just layer it up until you get the right level of thickness, I suppose. Whereas if your shirt's always going to be itchy, do you know what I mean? And there's nothing you can do about that.
The thing for me is you can just wash your hands straight away. Just wash your hands straight after. If it is too thin and you have an accident or whatever, just wash your hands, you're fine. Whereas an itchy shirt, is one of the worst things.
And it is a very West. It's a very Western problem anyway, because as soon as you go East in the world, they use bidets and shit, man. So, they don't need any. They don't really use toilet roll, so you can survive. It can be.
There's a bunch of go on. So go on, Ross.
I'm going to call you Tom. Just wash your hands, Dutton. wash your hands.
Yeah,
solid piece of advice from the least cleanly of the Red Men TV team. You've changed. This pandemic's changed you, Tom.
I know. I haven't been sick for months. It's mad.
You're the bubble boy. We should have had you in isolation the whole time. Uh-huh. It's been so happy and so upbeat. You've been working from the same room for the last 7 weeks, and yet I've never seen you more upbeat on a day-to-day basis.
You know what it is? It's not waking up really early to drive to work. It's genuinely being able to roll out of bed into the shower and then sitting down 5 minutes before I have to get any work done. It's fantastic. I'm actually resting.
By really early, you mean 8:30, by the way.
Yeah, 100%. That's early.
Anyway. Right, okay. As is the format on the podcast, each week we ask our guests to bring a topic of discussion from, it can be tangentially football related, but generally speaking, all football related. And we've got some belters this week. Ross, do you want to kick it off?
Yeah, I changed mine several times. I had what Errol had, and then I decided because he's our guest, he could have that. But it's also the Barcelona anniversary on Thursday, so I want to just mention that in case someone wants to talk about it as well. But the big thing is the German football possibly coming back as early as a week on Saturday. Just first of all, how good it might be for the Bundesliga to get worldwide attention, because I happily admit I'm not a massive fan of it. I've never sat down and watched a full game, but I can guarantee when it comes back on again, because of the lack of football, the worldwide, people
who's
are going to be watching it. I support football, mate. I'm going to watch them all. I thought this is someone picking a team, is someone picking Dortmund, I'm Leipzig.
Going Leipzig. Years back, so I'll go Leipzig.
Why Leipzig now? Because they're like the bad, but they're like the ones that everyone hates in the Bundesliga because of the money that they're pouring in.
Yes, Errol, explain yourself.
You just Man City is what you've just done.
Well, I just had them on FIFA a couple of years ago, and I like the format that they had. I like some of the defenders that they've got now, and I still like the Timo Werner. So, I want to see how they finish their season.
Yeah, it's a strong point. If nothing else, just to get your Timo scouting in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. See, I've gone with Bayer Leverkusen. Similarly, with along them lines, I've watched a few games of them this season. They had the 4-3 against Dortmund, which was amazing, and they were fantastic. Then in the round of 16 against Rangers, they're winning 3-1 at the moment in the first leg. But they've got players, they've got the Bender brothers. I've been waiting all day to say that. They've got the Bender brothers. They've got Jonathan Tarr at the back as well. They've got Kai Havertz, who's fantastic. Bellarabi as well. And then they've got Kevin Volland and Liam Bailey up top. And so I really want to see all these players that I want Liverpool to buy. John Reid's been a massive proponent, I think that's the right word, of watching the Bundesliga and stuff, and he put me onto the Bayer Leverkusen Dortmund game, and I was just watching it like, this is the football I want to see.
You're too young to remember them knocking us out of the Champions League in like 2002. Yeah. 2002, and so I mean, obviously we then did them on the road to 2005. But I fucking hate Bayer Leverkusen because I was absolutely, and Michael Ballack and Bayer Leverkusen broke my heart. So they can get in the bin as far as I'm concerned. I think the thing about this is two things. I'm probably not going to watch. I'll watch some of it, but I'm not going to watch too much of it anyway because I just trying to convince my family all of a sudden that we're now massive Bundesliga fans when like my wife now can't stand football from the knock-on impact it's had on her life over the years. It's like, yeah, well, all of a sudden we're fans of a domestic team in a different country which we've no affinity for whatsoever. The good thing about it in this is that I reckon it's going to soften the blow for how crap footy is going to be when it does come back. Yeah. Everyone's going to watch it go, oh, football, and then they're going to see how really disappointing it is watching behind closed doors footy, and at least that means there won't be this like stupid hype for the Premier League. Well, it gives us a chance to accept it for what it is.
Yeah, and it gives us a chance to obviously make our version slightly better. If you can see like, you know, the effects of not having a crowd and given that atmosphere are going to play effect, do you kind of add in some sort of match day crowd noise and do it a bit FIFA-y? I don't know. But even if it's an option, so not everyone has to watch like that, but you can choose. I think, I don't know if it's Hot Mic or something, but there was an app that was similar to that anyway, where you could watch people commentate and you could get all the background noise and stuff like that. If it was similar to that, where it was an option, then it might make our experience of when the Prem comes back slightly better. So it's just good to watch. A bit of a guinea pig for us, really.
I think the thing for me is, I don't know if you remember, Bundesliga highlights was always on the telly and it was for free and you didn't need to care about any teams. It was just goals going in. That's kind of all I care about. I mean, I watch a bit of Leverkusen, but I just want to see like worldies going in. I enjoy that kind of Twitter or social media where it's like, have you seen that goal from a league that you just don't watch? And you're like, what a goal that is. I just miss that kind of thing where I'm not fully invested, and like Ross said before, I can just enjoy the footy.
Well, it kind of all ties in. In fact, let's get a final shout then. Who your team's going to be?
I'm going Leipzig. Yeah, I've gone Leipzig.
I'm not picking a team. I'm just supporting football being back.
That's the worst answer you could ever pick.
Paderborn. There you are. I support Paderborn.
Who's going to win the league?
It's probably going to be.
Is Leipzig even in with the shout? I think they're a couple points off, aren't they now?
Munich, Leipzig and Dortmund, I think.
Okay, well, I'm going to support Bayern Munich then.
Well, there's five teams in the round. Munich, then Dortmund, Leipzig, Mönchengladbach, then Leverkusen. But they're all between... It's eight points separate them, so it's not that much at all.
I'm just going to support whoever wins it.
That's fair.
Because it's this thing, and I'm sure there'll be people riled by it, like going, oh, glory on set, yeah. And what's the point? I don't get a choice in my actual football team. It's like hard-coded into my DNA to be a Liverpool fan. I didn't decide to be a Liverpool fan. I am a Liverpool fan. So if I'm going to have another one, I'm not going to choose someone who's not going to win things. Fuck that. I don't need any more of that. In my life, I've waited 30 years for Liverpool to win the league, and I had no say in the matter. I'm gonna glory hunt till the cows come on me. I'm a PSG fan as well. What a boss week it's been.
Surprised you not said Dortmund, Paul, so you can scout Jadon Sancho for your director of football there.
Already bought him, mate. Scouting squad. Go on. So Tommy, did you settle on?
Yeah, it's by Leverkusen. Like I say, I think they're really exciting.
Okay, yeah, let us know yours in the comments. This all kind of leads in nicely. You've all picked subjects that kind of flow really well. And I think it's interesting because obviously Errol made the reference there about how we could do things maybe differently or whatever. Tom, and you want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's more like football is going to return. And it's the Bundesliga, it's Premier League, but we don't know, even with next season. There's talk of the whole of next season with the Premier League being behind closed doors. And there's got to be different ways of watching football. It's going to be really interesting to see our businesses kind of expand in that way in terms of different camera angles, and maybe we'll just get what the NHL have and the NFL, sorry, where it's just a full pitch and you get to watch it. Maybe it's the VR stuff that everyone's been touting about, which I think would be amazing. But I think it's not just the camera angles and the way that and that kind of thing. It's post-match, because the pubs might not be open either. So people's set routines of going to the game and then going to the pub is decimated. That's gone.
Yeah.
So now you're sat at home, then what do? You can't sit there with your mates. You go on a Zoom call and have a beer by yourself. Or do people take the initiative and create different things where there's more analysis or stuff like that? It's going to be really interesting to see how people fill that void. And I just want to know some ideas of what you think could fill
that. Watch Redman TV.
Yeah. Just watch Redman TV. Yeah. The VR stuff, I think, is a fantastic opportunity, because you've got to look at WrestleMania. And I always reference this. Obviously, they did WrestleMania. They did it with no crowd, and it was a bit crap.
Me may watch that.
Yeah, it was crap. But they took it from a couple of angles. So what they did was, you put out your star performers, and you put your most technically gifted things out, and you got them put on a technical masterclass. And the other side of things is, they had like some really well cinematically shot, like, movie style matches, which were all, it wasn't right, it was all crap, but in terms of making the best of the situation. And I think you've kind of got it in the notes, Tom, but sort the analysis out and let's have some proper in-depth, because the game itself has got to be the star. It can't be the reactions, it can't be the noise, it can't be the emotion anymore. So it's going to have to be, we're going to have to analyse sports on a technical level, and it's going to drive away. There's going to be loads of casual fans who are going to hate it. Like, again, to what my wife, she's not a football fan, she doesn't really like football, but she actually loves watching the big games because they've got something about them. That's gone. So don't worry about it. Make it the best you can be, and make it from a viewing perspective. The VR stuff, and I've been saying this since the World Cup, like that World Cup VR app, the BBC one on the PlayStation, is amazing, because as you say, you can see the whole pitch. You're not distracted by the highlights. There's no need for all that stuff anymore. Let's boil football down for the purists and make it for them. And if I can, because the amount of, you don't realise how much footy you miss because you're shown replays. You never see a goal kick taken in the Premier League. You never, ever see it, because you're seeing the thing that led to the goal kick. And given how football's played, it's played out from the back, it's shocking. So I want that. I want to be able to choose my camera angle. I want to be able to choose my commentators. And I want the people analysing the play to the nth degree in the studio as well.
Yeah, I think player cams would be a great thing. I don't know if it's practical, but something like that. So maybe you get like their perspective of the game. And do you know what I mean? And even if it was like positional kind of thing, and you could have like a defensive player cam, and you just watch a defensive line, and you could sit and choose to watch the defensive line and how they play the phases of the game. Stuff like that, I just think would be interesting. I think there's the idea of like the kind of the documentary style stuff that they've done with like Man City in the past, and where you have like interviews at half time, or you get access to the dressing room at half time, that kind of thing as well. I just think the more options that are on the table, I think it makes the product stronger when it does come back.
Yeah, absolutely.
They need to fill the entertainment value, don't they, is the key point, because there's no atmosphere. Even if you're watching on TV, you can tell whether something's good or not. So it's trying to bridge that gap of like football's back, but it's still really amazing. I think all the different things that you said are good ideas. And it's like what Errol was alluding to there, of like even having different commentary. You know, I'm sure Martin Tyler won't be very happy with it, but I think, you know, if there's football back and there's no atmosphere and all you can hear is Martin Tyler, that potentially will drive a lot of people away, because it's this is ironic coming from me, but it's pretty monotone. Martin Tyler, I'm like, I don't want to fucking listen to that. I want, you know, do you mean you want some entertainment? Peter Drury, if you've got the choice of having Peter Drury or whatever, you know, at least it adds something to the game, doesn't it?
They'll have to pump in audio. There's no way. I mean, the interesting one there is the player cam. And I know you were talking about just following a defensive line, but I remember seeing a camera, someone strapped a GoPro to a chest while they were doing a rondo. I would love, absolutely love, I don't know, someone a really tricky technical player. I think they had David Silva on that video, but it'd be amazing to see Sadio Mane with a little fucking chest cam and watching just how fast he runs, because you don't realise just how fast he moves until there's a camera attached to him, you see stuff flying past.
These are things that I think as well in terms of, it doesn't have to be in the moment, it's just an option that if you was to then choose that replay to go back and you wanted to watch that goal from that angle, you've now got the privilege of being able to watch a body cam image of Sadio Mane scoring a, you know, a 20 yard, a brilliant goal or something like that. So go on.
No, carry on.
The last thing I was going to say, it almost reminds me of, do you remember when FIFA brought out the arena mode and you could do that that first player?
Yeah.
It'd almost be like that type of experience. And I think, you know, chances are if we're going to be copying and taking the audio so it is off like a video game, or it's been last year's, you know, Man City, Liverpool, Anfield noise to make it happen. I think it's stuff like that, wouldn't it? Do you know what I mean? Add all the extra stuff that FIFA's added in. It might make it a little bit more exciting.
Yeah, I've like a player controlled via the internet. we can play a win the chance to be the 11th player on your side and control.
Forget the player, the ball itself. The ball has a motive in it.
What was that film? Gamer, was it? The one with Jared Butler? Yeah, absolutely. That. The one thing that I've not heard people talking about, but again, it goes back to the wrestling thing, is you might as well mic the refs up.
Yeah.
Because yes.
You'd be able to hear every word that's said on the pitch anyway, and so you might as well control it, and you might as well make it a feature and gain some kudos from it, because you're going to hear again this in the wrestling, because wrestling is scripted. You know, I know people might be shocked at that, it is. So,
but there's blood, Paul. There's blood.
Well, no, it is. But
spoiler alert:
the blood's real, like. But the obviously the ending's scripted. But the point is that it's called on the fly a lot of the time. So you've got like there's ways of talking, and wrestlers and the referees communicate to the people to make them do the bits and pieces. Now all of a sudden you can hear. So they had to create ways around it, and they had to accentuate the bits that they wanted people to hear and do whatever. And it's obviously not exactly like for like going to work in the Premier League. But I think there's a chance there to say, look, the point is, they're not going to be able to cover up the football players calling each other pricks and telling each other to fuck off and stuff. So you might as well be over the top and go, right, we're making the ref up. Everyone needs to be aware that that's happening. And maybe that leads into that. Because that's the one thing that's missing from footy. And it's a fantastic opportunity to do something like that. I
think if that happens as well, it has to stay as a part of future football with the whole VR package. Yeah. And I think if you set a precedent like that in a time like this, and it works, then, you know, all those that have said before, don't make the refs, their arguments just fall flat on the face after that point, don't they? Mm.
Yeah, Errol, you brought it to the table. Gordon Taylor's been talking, and he's mentioned the idea of less than 45 minutes a half.
That's bonkers. It's not rugby. it's not rugby, though. Like, you play footy for 90 minutes. Like, I think what age group does it change? I think it's like year 7 or 8, you change from like 60 to 70 minute games to 9. Like, these are adult men. If they're out there for 10 minutes, what difference does it mean they're going to... I just don't get it. Like, for me, I just can't see the sense in reducing the game. And I can see the sense in saying when it gets to 45, no matter where the situation is on the pitch, the ref can blow the whistle and there won't be any, you know, stupid added time. That's fair enough. But in terms of the match halves, you can't... It's no longer footy.
Yeah. No,
I saw this, I picked the subject first. And it just made me think of the Alan Partridge thing when he's trying to get a second series. I was like, "What should you do? Yeah. Just reduce the hours, just two minutes down." But like, I don't see what difference it makes if, because obviously it's based on trying to reduce the spread of COVID-19 and player safety and stuff. If you do 40 minutes each way, what difference does 45 make? Because they're going to get all the protection in the world and all the safety. 5, 10 minutes, whatever, just makes no difference at all.
It was more, it got me, the Partridge thing was right, but it's the whole Partridge sat there with the thing on his bed going...
I'll take the phone, right.
The dictaphone going, Lynn, I've got an idea. 40-minute halves. 40-minute halves. And trained animals to throw the balls back in to minimise contact. You know, it's just Gordon Taylor, because he got that, except it would be like... And I think the trained animals should throw in the ball. He is the fucking dullest human being I've ever been in a room with. He did a speech at the Northwest Football Awards last year, and it was like 15 minutes, and you talk about monotone, Ross. It was just, oh my God, everyone's just like, you know, everyone just starts looking around, going, what can we do? Can we do anything about this? Can we do, yeah, I wonder if he's just done that. They've got, right, Gordon, we want you to go away and think up some interesting ways that can help football come back. And he's gone, okay, I'll do that. And then he's just sat in his room on his own, and he's just got 72 hours of recordings of him coming up with mad, weird ways for Fuzzy to come back.
I understand. I do get it. He's trying to minimise the fatigue of the players. He's trying to figure out them ways, because he's talking about a lot of games being played in a short amount of time to get ready for the next season. I understand that. But the problem with doing that is, you're then reducing the amount of time that people have to score. You're going to change football fundamentally in the way that Liverpool tire teams down. That was the way we did it for a long time, is you're passing around, teams get tired, they mentally switch off, and then you strike. And we scored so many goals at the end of halves, at the end of games. And are we going to be able to do that now? Because like Errol says, these are men, these are conditioned athletes, they are fit. And I understand the fatigue side of things. There needs to be a way around that. But you're taking away a lot of teams' massive assets of keeping hold of the ball and tiring teams out. There's got to be better ways of sorting this out for me. I don't know what they are.
They suggested having more substitutes, I think, as well. Which kind of counteracts the same thing. But then, you know, if someone's fatigued, they haven't done their pre-season properly, then at least you can help that out, can't you?
Pep Guardiola will be like a pig in shit if you give him more substitutes. He'll be made up. Just to wrap up on this, obviously the article that we were referring to, BBC have talked about it. It's a Professional Football Association. Professional Footballers Association Chief Executive Gordon Taylor has suggested halves of less than 45 minutes could be considered when football resumes. Discussions about the Premier League's return are ongoing, but Taylor says players are concerned about safety. They're not stupid, he told BBC Radio 4's Today programme. They would have to be satisfied that it's safe. The Premier League said the idea is not on the table. What of these ideas didn't make it out of Gordon Taylor's bedroom? That's what I want to know. What are the random things? Let us know in the comment section underneath, or tweet us at the Redmen TV as well. I want to talk about this other thing on the BBC this week. They've said with the normal awards season kind of being cancelled, they've got a page up now where you can vote for your press players, top moments, favourite goals, etc. of the season. And I want to talk us through it. Because obviously there's some limited options on it. You can't just vote for everyone. But if we had to vote for it, because we're going to pick a Liverpool player for Premier League player of the season. So the question is, out of the options that we've got available, which is Trent, Alisson, Van Dijk, Henderson, Mane or Salah, who are we going for?
Hendo by far. And you know what's funny as well, as much as he's been fantastic on the pitch, he's grown as a captain. I think the lockdown and all the quarantine stuff has elevated him even higher. You know what I mean? In terms of, yes, all the stuff that he's done on the pitch has been fantastic. And he really has been fantastic. You can't dispute that. He's been instrumental, especially when Fabinho got injured. He came back and we were like, wow, Fabinho's never getting back on the side. It was amazing. But the fact that he's kind of taken the core of Liverpool, you know what I mean, in terms of going, we are working for other people and we're going to make sure that these people are looked after, and even the Gomez stuff with Sterling, and he's not even captain there, but he's taking that on his shoulders, I think, just showing the measure of the man that he is. And I think that for me elevates him massively. Yes, the football stuff, you can talk about Mane, I think he's been sensational. I'm sure one of his will, but I just feel like Jordan Henderson has embodied everything that we want out of a Liverpool captain and a player.
I just want to get up and deliver a massive round of applause there, Tom. Now I just started shedding a tear. That was glorious. Can we just record that and give that to Liverpool to put out?
Happily.
Anyone else?
Sadio Mane. I think Henderson, definitely Henderson, but I think you're right. Sadio Mane is the other one. And the only reason I say that is everything that he's done. But I think it's hard to judge, because so much of his good work was done at the beginning of the season. And when we weren't performing well, like week in, week out. And was it Southampton away we went to?
He scored that goal later, yeah.
He scored the winner, but he did it so many times at the beginning of the season and just dragged us to wins to put us where we are now. And equally, he does stuff off the pitch. I know it's not as recent as Jordan Henderson, but that sticks in your memory because it's the past few weeks. But Sadio Mane does that. You know, Sadio Mane's just got his own documentary put out for all the good stuff that he does off the field as well. And I think someone who's vastly improved, again, from last season.
I think mine, if age, if you know, if age didn't make a matter, I'd go for Trent right now. Just because I think when you look at other young footballers on, you know, the level that Trent is at, you've got the Jadon Sanchos, you've got the Mbappes, they are spoken about as world beaters. And I wholeheartedly think Trent is still a world beater. But in terms of this Liverpool squad, for us to have achieved what we achieved last year and to have sustained and built on that, for me, there's still the linchpin in Virgil van Dijk that enables all of the good work that's done by the Hendersons, all of the good work that's done by the Manes, and obviously the Trents. So I still back Van Dijk because we have went from there and achieving, and we're now there and we're still achieving, and without him, I don't think we...
I wonder whether Virgil and Salah kind of fall into that same sort of bracket, that we just accept how good they are. So I wouldn't have even thought for a single second about Van Dijk for this, and yet... Was he playing worse than last season when he was like, you know, an absolute shoo-in to win that award? No, he's playing at a level. He's saying he's either playing at least the same level, if not a better level, in a team that's performing even better.
Well, he did, because the first 8 or 9 games, the rock behind him last season wasn't there in Alisson, so he had to step up and be better for those periods and show up defensively, and he was. Then when Alisson comes back, you know, he's had changes to his centre-back partnership. It wasn't Matip, it went from Matip and went to Gomez. He's still been consistently on that level, as you're describing, so it is hard. It's a very hard one.
That's the thing, because I look at the difference between Mane and Salah, and let's just go purely on Premier League. Like, Salah's got more goals and Mane's got more assists. Like, Mane's got, in fact, I've got the stats here, let me not paraphrase. Mane's got 14 goals and 7 assists, and Mohamed Salah's got 16 goals and 6 assists. But you're right, it's Sadio Mane over the two of them, which is mad, because again, Salah's probably, you know, could depending on what happens, could end up as top goal scorer in the league again. He could get more than 20 goals a season again, which is, you know, would be 3 seasons on the bounce, which is absolutely incredible. We just haven't had a player like that consistently in years.
And but there's only a handful of prime players on that level that do get 23 seasons on the bounce.
Yeah. But I have to agree with the Mane thing, is that maybe you know, Salah's picked up his form at a point where maybe Mane was just starting to wane a touch, but you're dead right. I don't think anyone has been more as responsible, maybe with the exception of Jordan Henderson, for dragging Liverpool through this. Mane has been like a man possessed this season, and it's like he's gone, no, Liverpool are winning the league this season. I don't care what I have to do and who I have to kill to make it happen. But he's done that. So, and I, that might get forgotten, if only because of all the stuff, Tom, that you mentioned. Jordan Henderson's almost got the PR engine around him. In being English and being the captain, you know, there's a great story around Jordan Henderson that might help him pip it. But I honestly, for me at this point, it's toss a coin, and whoever comes out between the two of them, I'm fully not asked, because I think they both deserve it.
And I'd just like to say, like, it's mad, but how good does it feel that even in the conversation, the shortlist for the player of the season, you know, how many teams, the 20-odd teams, how many players can they all pick to be in their squad? How many games did they all get to play? And all 5 we've all been able to discuss come from our team. It's just unbelievable, man. Like, you shouldn't take it. And I think we just shouldn't take that for granted at all.
Nope.
And I know it's mad to in the conversations that we are having now in this moment, but earlier in the season, when the, you know, the chief exec was coming out saying you need to enjoy these moments, because it just seems more pertinent now, because obviously everything that's gone, it's crazy, but it's true. Yeah, like, true. We're not going to get them for much longer, you know what I mean, in terms of the grand scheme of things. So
definitely. The list for the Premier League Young Player of the Season then is as follows: Tammy Abraham, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Todd Cantwell, Jack Grealish, Dean Henderson, Sheffield United keeper, James Maddison, Dwight McNeil, Burnley, I had no idea, Mason Mount, Marcus Rashford, Richarlison, and Bakayoko Saka. And it's funny, because in terms of good seasons there, like, my eyes were immediately drawn to Tammy Abraham, because obviously you've seen him firsthand, you know, both for good and for ill. He's a fantastic young player. Dominic Calvert-Lewin is hit like 1-2 form under Carlo Ancelotti, or since Duncan Ferguson. Todd Cantwell's been great. Jack Grealish has been really good. Dean Henderson, apart from this, he's thrown one in for us, which made me like him even more, has been a phenomenal goalkeeper.
Saka's been quality as well.
Saka has been phenomenal. Fantastic.
What Arsenal. How old are we saying young? Because I just looked up Jack Grealish, he's 24. That's not young for me.
Yeah. How old is Richarlison? Richarlison
same. Young, is must be the same age, 24.
Because when I'm thinking young player, I'm thinking under 22, 21 and lower, I'm really thinking. And in that case, spotted. I mean...
You've spotted the PFA's biggest like lie, and it's only done. It's done normally so that like someone like Harry Kane can be given an award when someone else really good as an obvious shoo-in to win it. Yeah, it's always someone. It always tends to be like an older player who ends up winning it. But there's just like again, look at those players. They're like Marcus Rashford's been good, Mason Mount's been fantastic,
yeah.
James Maddison's had a good season. They're all quality players, but there's no way this isn't Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Do you remember that Leicester game that wins it? That 4-0 yeah. when he just yeah. absolutely dominated the team by himself. Yeah. And you're watching and he's done that.
Is that the right back? When he plays the... Is that... In fact, is it... Am I thinking about that game or is it the World Cup Championship? The pass to Bobby Firmino where it's from like... It's about 30 yards deep from you know, on the right-hand side and he just plays the diagonal ball and people let it know in the comments. And it's... It's just... Like, yeah, Trent is just, we all know, he's, the kid's something else.
Yeah, he's ridiculous.
He's mustard.
Yeah. he's sensational. And yeah, he might even be the youngest out of that whole list. I don't even know.
I think Saka's probably a little bit younger than him.
Probably. He has been good, yeah. But yeah, it's no question.
They've just made that list and they've damaged the confidence of the rest of them because the rest of them in that list know it's Trent as well.
But it's funny because there'll be fans of us, Arsenal fans will be all voting for Saka and, you know, Man United fans will all be voting for, you know, for Rashford and all that. And they've got good young players, but this is the thing, not to go cheap on it, but there's levels. You know, one of these lads is having an impact at the highest level of football at the moment.
From right back.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, all really good players. And I would be made up if Liverpool had half of them in our squad because they are really, really talented. But good on you. Good on you that you've got a talented lad called Saka, but the rest of your team's crap. So it doesn't really matter. Premier League signing of the season, Gary Cahill, Bruno Fernandes. That's mental that he would be in there. He's played about four games for them. Dean Henderson to United, Sheffield United on loan. Danny Ings, Harry Maguire, Gabriel Martinelli, Tyrone Mings, Ayoze Perez, Yuri Tielemans, or Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
I voted for Danny Ings.
Yeah,
based on it, just because Liverpool roots, but also he's been boss under them.
Yeah. I love that Martinelli. I can't lie, he's another one who's seriously good. I don't know. To be fair, as well, for the money that you're buying, if we're talking about value for money as well, they bought him on the cheap, and for what he's returned,
£6 million.
That's, in today's market, I know it's all relative, isn't it? Cheap £6 million, but. In today's market for football players and a striker to come up with the amount of goals he's come up with this season at his age, how's he not in for young player? That's what I don't get because he is as young as all the others.
Yeah,
his exploits have been across all games.
He was brilliant pumps. Against us in the League Cup, was it, where we beat him 5-5.
That's what I'm thinking. It's different competitions that he's been dead good in.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about price and stuff, £20 million for Danny Ings, and I know. It's weird because they had him on loan and then they've got him now. I'm not quite sure how it works.
Yeah, there was the option to buy.
But he's got 15 goals and one assist. That's more goals than Sadio Mane's got in the Premier League. So if we're talking about strikers who've had an impact, the amount of times you see Danny Ings just pop up with a goal and you're thinking, wow. And I remember I was watching him this season thinking, I wish he got to them levels with Liverpool. That's what he came to Liverpool with, and he got injured twice, and you're thinking, God, you felt so gutted for him because you knew what he was capable of, and he's showing it now, and I think that he deserves everything he's got. And you see the rapport he had with the squad as well when he was with us. £20 million for 15 goals in the Premier League is ridiculous value.
It's not just that, though, is it? The value for money. Like, take away those 15 goals, Southampton in the relegation spots.
Yeah.
So how much does that cost you going down back to the Championship? He saved him from that.
Can we all agree that Harry Maguire being on that list is hilarious?
Yeah. I and still Bruno Fernandes.
He's
been good, though.
No, but he's fantastic.
I don't care how good you've been. You can't be the buy of a season and have only had a handful of games. That just doesn't make any sense.
I'd rather Soyuncu was in that list from being promoted from the reserves to the first team. That would have made more sense.
Well, that's the funny thing is all the United...
any sense. But yeah. I get your point. Okay.
It's not even bitter about Man U either, because that Dean Henderson, he's been doing bits for Sheffield, so it's good that people like him are on that list, do you know what I mean? But it's mad.
Fernandes has played 5 games for Man United in the Premier League.
That's a handful, yo.
Goals and got 3 assists in that time, which is a good return for 5 games.
How many goals, sorry?
2 goals, 3 assists. Which is, again, that's you know, I remember Patrick Berger having a very similar start to his Liverpool career, and I was thinking he was amazing, but it shows
how far they've fallen. That's their star player, because the rest of them are shit.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I like the Danny Ings shout. I think, you know, particularly because he's such a hard working nice guy, and I do feel a little bit of pang of, you know, annoyance that we didn't get that Danny Ings for us, but it shows he needed 2 seasons of footy. He needed a full season playing as many games as he possibly could, and now we're starting to see the player that we should have had. You never know. Maybe one day we'll see him again. Who is the Premier League surprise package of the season? Tammy Abraham, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Fred, Mason, Danny Ings, John Lundstrom, James Maddison, Timu Pukki, Kaglar Soyuncu, or Adama Traore?
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's Amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I was going to go for Fred straight off the bat, because I think Fred's been really good. Like,
really?
He's been really, really good for United this season.
Yeah. Well, tainted by past seasons, then exactly. I guess he's been awful.
Well, and again, it's a little bit of, it shows how bad Man United are that he's been their best midfielder. But he has actually been it. I'd have said
McTominay was their best midfielder though. Over
he
is, him.
But he's been injured, hasn't he? He's been out for it. He's been out for a lot.
But in terms of a surprise, I wasn't expecting McTominay to be able to hit those heights in the last 8 months. But he was, and then he got injured. So yeah, it's a bit mad.
He's a Darren Fletcher. If Darren Fletcher was the best player in the team, which is to say that the team's crap, if that's true.
He was one at the start of the season, weren't he?
Yeah.
I think he got off to a flyer.
Who's that? Sorry.
That Pukki, the Norwich lad. Absolutely.
It's funny, isn't it? Because I think you could almost split the league in two, the season in two, and say first half of the season, or first half of the first 2/3 of the season, it was Timu Pukki, but then the other, it was Adama Traore, because, you know, everyone went from putting Pukki in the team to having Traore in the fantasy teams, because he obviously started tearing it up big time.
It's got to be the Soyuncu or Traore for me. Soyuncu, I think Ross alluded to it before. Moving up, I'm sure I'll let Ross talk about him actually, so I'll move on to Adama Traore. I think Traore, for me, when we played against Wolves away, we went down there and every single time he got the ball, Wolves crowd went up and the Liverpool fans sunk down, because you know that the kid's like fantastic. He's got some absolute just raw power, and I always used to think, oh, he's just a pace merchant, he can just run fast, and then you see him against City and you see him against teams and he's scored and worldies, and he's got that end product, or he had that end product when he was hitting form and just going for it. And I think he seems like one of them players, if he hits form, he is unplayable. Not many players can catch him. You think you catch someone flat-footed as a fullback and you burst past them, he's through, and then they've got the players, Wolves, to score at the edge of the box. They've got the great strikers in there as well. He's such a danger in that side. I really enjoyed watching Wolves. I think me and Ross, after the game, spoke to a Wolves fan, and we were saying to them, like, yous have been fantastic this season. Look, we're made up, we won. Sorry, but we're made up, we won. But yous have been brilliant, and he said the same thing. But it was nice to be able to... I don't like Wolves fans, but I like that one Wolves fan. And it was nice to have a little discussion about how we both enjoyed different aspects of each team. It's great.
Yeah. Adama Traore, just out of interest, 28 appearances in the Premier League this season. Only 4 goals, but 7 assists, which is, as we said, they're the same amount as Sadio Mane, which is pretty impressive. And you're right, he's a scorer of great goals, not a great goal scorer, to use the old Darren Huckabee analogy. But he's...
Worst up against Man City as well. And two of them definitely were, because he won the game for himself, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
And for that reason, he gets my vote.
that'll do for me. I'm skipping past the Premier League goal of the season, because ultimately I can't remember half of them. But the Premier League moment of the season, I just want to draw attention to this, that it started, it's got Norwich beating Man City 3-2. Yeah, great. Yeah, that was probably the moment. Obviously, it's got it in here as well, of us beating Man City 3-1 to go 9 points clear. They're the two moments, I think, that decided the title for me. You know, when we realised that Man City were vulnerable. It actually happened in both games, to be fair. We absolutely battered them. And then when they could go away, Norwich put on a display like that, and you think, okay, well, maybe, you know, they weren't City from the season before all of a sudden.
Yeah, I proper enjoyed that Norwich game, because you saw them getting dismantled. It happened a few times this season as well, but I think you're right, it did pave the way, it changed teams' mentality, because I remember Liverpool used to be the team where you go and you get something from them. Like, that's what happened, and we had that in the back of our mind, and you know the players did, and it changed, it flipped, it went City with that team, where teams would go all out because they knew they could get something, so they gave it everything, whereas Liverpool... They turned up to Anfield, or Liverpool came to their ground. They were beaten already, and that's what City had, that fear factor, and it dissolved after that game, and especially after Liverpool beat them as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
That Norwich game was one of the many Man City games that you don't watch, but then you watch the last 10 minutes because your group chats are all going on. Norwich are winning. Fucking put it on.
100%. A couple of other ones.
My moment was just the Man U game. Salah's goal and that sprint by Alisson that he does. And just the photos after that, I just thought, in terms of just one moment, I think that for the players, that meant something a lot more than maybe the Norwich game or the City game. But yeah, it was a nice moment there. A
couple of the ones in the list then. Man City beating Watford 8-0. Didn't even remember that happened. Leicester beating Southampton 9-0. Did remember that one, because that was interesting. Also, obviously beating City. David Martin's tears after winning his debut for West Ham at Chelsea. I'm hearing about that one. I actually voted for this. Duncan Ferguson's celebrations after winning his first game as Everton interim boss. Like, because I took the piss out of it. But also, there was just something, like, if that was another football club, I'd have had a greater emotional attachment to it, you know what I mean, getting to see that and what it meant, you know, and like that, when you saw all the bits and pieces that he had, like, he had, was it like Howard Kendall's broken watch, and he had like some sweatbands that someone had given him, and he was like, whenever like university students used to go on like daytime quiz shows and they bring a mascot with them, like a lucky teddy. That's basically what Ferguson was like. And it showed that he had no fucking clue what he was doing from a time.
And now he's become the lucky teddy for Angelo.
Liverpool
was that
equal
Chelsea that game?
Yeah,
I remember that.
Liverpool equal the English top flight record of 18 successive wins by beating West Ham, and Watford 3-0 Liverpool, the first loss of the season. I guarantee that wins, just because it's it's the only thing like people who dislike Liverpool have got to like laugh about.
But why would you put that in a list of top things of the season? Like, it was a great game, Watford.
It stopped us going invincible, so guaranteed there'd be like some Arsenal writers who would just like breathe massive sighs of relief that it ended that as a possibility.
I think that Liverpool 3-1 Man City was my favourite. I think because it was a boss weekend as well. I remember it really well. And watching Fabinho's shot go in and the noise that it made when it hit the back of the net. You know, when you get a lovely, satisfying clink when it hits the back? That's what it was. I could watch that goal over and over. And it was the way that, well, there was a handball when it wasn't. And they got all up in arms. And then we just proceeded to scored two amazing goals. I went, all right, fine. If that would have got chalked off, who's ass? He still would have won. And then that's when City's heads dropped because they really wanted that. And all the banter fucked off. And it was just nice to be able to have some breathing room. Everyone just went, right, Liverpool, the best team. We've done it now. We know we are. Let's just win the league. And that's when mentality shifted, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Premier League manager of the season then. It's obviously going to be Jurgen Klopp. But Sean Dyche is in there for some reason. Guardiola's in there for some reason. Hodgson's in there for some reason. I know. Honestly, this is the point. They've made Wilder bottom of the list. And I think it's like, why bother? Frank Lampard, great. Brendan Rodgers. I mean, like, Brendan Rodgers, fine. I think he's worth a shout, but... like Nuno Espirito Santo, yeah, it's an interesting conversation, but like, yeah, Chris Wilder, if Jurgen Klopp didn't win it and Chris Wilder won it, it'd be a bit like, oh my god. But at the same time, the job that he's done with Sheffield United,
if there was any other manager other than Jurgen Klopp, I think he'd probably be asked. I don't think Jurgen Klopp would be asked if he didn't win it, you know.
Yeah,
I think the fact that the club wins the league and, you know, the players get the player accolades, he'd probably look and say, well, I would have voted for Chris Wilder myself, if I couldn't vote for me. Do you know what I mean? I don't think Klopp would take that as a, you know, it's hard to say, but I don't think he would feel too, you know, kind of disregarded if he wasn't named manager of the year.
I agree. Okay, then let's do the Premier League team of the season so you can pick your own one on the BBC website. Start with goalkeeper. The choices in front of us are Alisson Becker, Ederson, Ben Foster, Dean Henderson, Rui Patricio, or Nick Pope. My instinct is just to go Alisson because he's the best goalkeeper, but he's not been there all season, so I can't. I don't think we can conscientiously put Alisson in there.
I can't.
Is it?
Yeah, is I can't.
He's still got the most clean sheets, though. That's what's mad.
I mean, he doesn't, but I'm pretty sure it's Dean Henderson. But I think he's leads the. In fact, I think Henderson and Nick Pope are the. It might be 1-2 or 2-1 there in terms of most clean sheets so far this season. But it's Dean Henderson for me. In terms of the all-round performance, he's playing for Sheffield United. It's tainted slightly by the fact that I was about 12 feet away from him when he dropped the Gini Wijnaldum's one to do his legs, which makes you think he was crap, but he's been fantastic all season. Anyone going to argue against me?
Yeah, it's Alisson. 100%.
Yeah.
Okay, Dean Henderson moving on. Right back is obviously Trent Alexander-Arnold.
If we're talking about clean sheets, Paul, Alisson has 10, same as Dean Henderson. Nick Pope has 11, half the games this season. Alisson wins it.
Ooh. Go on, Tom.
I did research very quickly.
Go on, I'll take it then. Alisson Becker is the goalkeeper of the season.
There, Tom. Thank you very much.
Trent Alexander-Arnold, right back. No arguments there in any way, shape or form. Is there anyone out there who could have taken left back off Robbo?
No.
Do you know what? So. The closest person to that could, and it's when I say close, it's not close at all. But the only other outstanding left back I think has been that Saka, and who's Leicester's left back as well.
Ben Chilwell. That's the only other shout. But
they're the only other two.
Gonna have to be Andrew Robertson, isn't it? Okay, centre half. We're putting Virgil van Dijk in without a doubt, right?
Facts.
So usually the one.
And Soyuncu. Yeah, I'm happy with Soyuncu as our other centre half. Everyone good with that? Belter. Let me find that then. Okay, DM.
Endo.
Well, of course, I've called it centre of the midfield three. I think Jordan Henderson. Our choices really are not. There's not really. I mean, Wilfred and Didi is the only proper DM I think in this.
Well, I've got him in there as well on mine. So I've got a 4-3-3, Hendo and Didi in there both. But I know other people have picked other things.
Okay, we'll go Henderson in the middle, right of the three.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Kev De Bruyne, left of the three. Let's see, we've got Todd Cantwell, Bruno Fernandes, Fernandinho, no chance. Jack Grealish, Mateo Kovacic, John Lundstrom, James Maddison. There's Sadio Mane and Salah in this, but we're gonna skate over there. Mason Mount, Wilfred Ndidi, Yossi Perez, Gini Wijnaldum,
Maddison. Madison's a good shot. Madison or Ndidi, I think, for that midfield. Madison's been, his free kicks and stuff like that's been amazing.
You look like you're putting some deep thought into this, Errol.
Yeah, no, it's a toss-up between Madison and Ndidi for me, because I think one of those Leicester lads do deserve to be in the engine room. I'd have probably went for Ndidi over Maddison, just because obviously I think Kevin De Bruyne can do what Maddison can do from that area, but we're not getting too technical, I don't think so.
Okay, so we'll go Maddison for now then. Centre forward, the striker, the man scoring all our goals, Tammy Abraham, Sergio Aguero, Aubameyang, Calvert-Lewin, Bobby Firmino, Danny Ings, Raul Jimenez, Harry Kane, Timo Pukki, Marcus Rashford, Richarlison,
Jamie Vardy.
Thank you, Jamie Vardy.
19 goals, 4 assists in the Premier League. Top scorer by 2 ahead of Aubameyang. I want to put Salah in the middle because I want him in there, but I think Si made a great point before we started rolling. Jamie Vardy is just, he's been electric this season.
Yeah, I went my original voting on this. I went Sergio Aguero, but I think it's because I didn't get that far down the list. I just put Aguero. And went, yeah, Sam, that's me done with that. But yeah, I can live with Jamie Vardy. I mean, not literally, he would do my head in with his crosses to St George and his Lonsdale trainees and his need to go on EDL marches probably. But right wing, Salah,
Traore,
yeah. Talking good the right wing.
Traore, right wing,
yeah, over Salah.
Yeah.
Adama Traore, Tom, who's got
four goals and 7 assists.
I'm not asked. He's been fantastic. Like I said before, it's the...
Salah has scored 17 goals.
No, I understand. I get it. My front three, yeah, is Traore right, Salah middle, Mane left. And I understand what you're saying. Bear I just think Traore's been great.
That means that Salah doesn't get in the team of the season, despite having...
Look, it's three against one. It's fine. You can have Salah. I'm just making my argument.
But listen, this is important to me. I want you to understand how wrong you are on this one. That makes sense in your team when you've got Salah centre forward.
Yeah.
But we haven't got Salah centre forward, so you're still sticking. You would still stick with Adama Traore.
You'd have Adama and Vardy in the same team there when you could have Vardy and Salah.
I reckon Traore get more assists.
Fuck off, Tom.
I'm only no, genuinely, I don't know. I just want.
Oh my God! You've got fucking Aubameyang instead of Mane on the left hand side now, haven't you?
It's actually Aguero. No, I'm messing. Salah's the winner there. Yeah.
Okay, sounds Mane for the left hand for the left wing.
Right.
Oh, good one. Sadio Mane it is. So there we go. We've decided that is the official Red Men TV podcast team of the season. Alisson Becker in goal. It is 4-3 today. It is Trent at right back. Soyuncu and Van Dijk partner in centre halves. Robertson left back. A midfield three. Anchored by Jordan Henderson. De Bruyne and Maddison flanking him either side. Salah and Mane either side of Jamie Vardy. What a team that is. Oh, my days. Yeah, brilliant. There we go. Okay, well, let's quickly dive in then. To the sanity playlist, shall we do? Yes, Errol, what have you gone for this week?
So this week I've gone for three tracks. One is Move On Up, Curtis Mayfield, the old school kind of soul vibe. Just gets everyone in a feel-good mood. That I feel like...
700-minute version.
Yeah. No, but I think it just gets everybody in a good mood. And obviously Kanye sampled it at some point, and I think everyone just kind of remembers them tunes going on. So that's on there. I also went for Numb Encore by Jay-Z, Linkin Park. I don't know if it's been put on the playlist at some point. I just think that's just an old-school banger. And then the last one was California Love. By Tupac and Dr. Dre, something upbeat. Yeah, that was me.
Don't think there's a bad song with the name with California in the title. But anyone wants to prove me wrong in the comments?
California Girls isn't fantastic.
He's done well there. He's done fucking well there.
Katy Perry.
He's done well.
It's a summer banger, mate. I'm telling you. Honestly, we realised this when we were in LA. Put every song with California in the title and then drive around California with those songs playing, and all of a sudden, every single one of them makes perfect sense, even California Girls. I thought you meant the Beach Boys. I was about to fucking flop you and shut the stream down. Go on, Tom, what have you gone for?
I've gone for the Wilhelm Scream by the Bamboos. It's a cover. Brilliant, listen to it. Julia by Mountjoy, that got recommended to me by Georgia. It's a good album, but that's the best song by far. And then Tell It Tonight by Franz Ferdinand. Speaking to Ross about this before, that whole album is so good. But
Franz Ferdinand album.
Yeah, Tell It Tonight. As soon as that little that first guitar riff comes in with the bass, oh, fantastic song.
Amazing.
Go as on then. Say in the grind world, that is a shutdown, Tom.
I've never said that before. Weirdly.
Being pivotal in the grime scene himself. Ross, what have you gone for?
I've gone for the Wings, Band on the Run. Bleed It Out by Linkin Park, another tune, and Feel Good Inc. By the Gorillaz. All three bangers again.
That is a very good song. I 100% shit my three out this week because I'd not done it and I was late coming into today. But me and the family have broken out the rock PS3 Rock Band with the drums and guitar and mics and all that, and we've been playing randomly. It's amazing. Lego Rock Band is incredible. It's got some of the absolute best songs in the world on it. And me and my missus have been playing through the career mode on that. So in the title sequence is Grace by Supergrass, which I'd forgot. I used to love Supergrass so much, but that's like a real sleeper hit of theirs. Like everyone remembers a few, you know, the bit like All Right and all that, the one that gets all the attention and that, but Grace is a really good upbeat song. Summer of 69, I've gone for the Bryan Adams version because it's on that game. And Girls and Boys by Good Charlotte, which is a Good Charlotte even a thing anymore? There was a spell in like 2002, I think, where they had about five songs and they were massive and the Madden twins were all over MTV, and then they might be dead and yeah. No one cares.
But I meant to say this more, like I did see an Instagram post of the Rock Band and stuff. That's one of my guitars on there. I was looking at it, I was like, there's the sticker that I put on when I was a kid playing with them, like, so using them guitars. Do you get them from the office?
No, that's mine, mate. I just happened to put them
with
in.
With the skull? With the skull sticking on it? Maybe just...
Yours are all, yeah, because they're all fucking Xbox 360 ones, which aren't compatible with my PS3, much to my annoyance, because there are literally five guitars and a drum set in the office.
It's all mine, yeah. I might just come in and grab it all.
On a random note on that, I spent trying to find the kick pedal and my microphone. And I had to go adventure into our storeroom, and anyone's ever been in the Redmen storeroom will know it is a bit like, it's just a room of death, and nostalgia. And I turfed at that whole build, sweated my bollocks off because it's tiny and full and the boiler's in there, and then knocked over a box right near the end in all of my frustration. And I picked the box up, everything had fell out, I went, and then in there was the microphone and the kick pedal that I needed, buried underneath a ton of random scart leads and stuff. So, yeah, absolutely saved me that day.
Paul, did you pick all of the stuff up? Or is that you just telling me that's my first job when we go back when the
Yoke is out? No comments.
I was about to say that, yeah.
Joke, so he takes it lightly.
It was dead funny. It was dead funny until I had to get in the boiler today to turn it on so the hot water came on, and I'd blocked it with the Christmas tree. But yeah, it's fine. It's no worse than it was. Si's gone for Four Tops, Bernadette, Aretha Franklin, Jump 2, and Run Rig by May Morning. Whatever.
Never heard these, but I know the Four Tops are great. I know Aretha Franklin's great, obviously. Never heard Run Rig by May Morning, so I'll give that a listen later. He's usually got some good tunes, Si.
We've got... Yeah, Si's just popped in there. Go on, Si, what?
Yeah.
By Run Rig, whatever, mate. I'm going to forget to put it in anyway. He messaged me, you missed one of his songs off last week and you put another one off. Whatever. I always skip size tracks anyway. I'm only messing. The schoolyard game, right? It's meant to be me against Chris Pajach.
I bought a fucking coin for nothing then.
Oh my God, Errol's found the coin, the last coin in humanity, because nobody has coins anymore because you can't use them. Because you're not allowed to get that close to people. And Ross has got a whole dish of them. Look at that.
Euros. Does that mean he forfeits then?
He might have to, Tom.
You know what I mean? I mean,
I don't know what we're gonna need to do something. I don't know. I've not worked this out. I am recording the Matron Page app podcast with Chris on Wednesday, so maybe I'll see if I will forget. Let's see if I can remember to do something about this. Because I'm supposed to be streaming this on Friday night. We did stream the semi-final, though. It was me against Ross, and it was a comprehensive victory for Team Mach.
Offering nothing, goes back. Oh, here's Wee Joe. Will he drive into the box? Gerrard!
Jordan Henderson has just had Steven Gerrard's trousers down there and had a squeeze of his bottom. Aspas, Gerrard, Sturridge, Gerrard, Gerrard! Oh! Straight down the throat of Mignolet, but that is a shot on target, and that is encouraging. Gerrard now, he's got a taste for this. Iago Aspas, it's the deflected, it's a goal! It's a goal! It is a goal! And my word, mark this in your calendar, it is a red letter day in the history of world football. Iago Aspas has scored a goal! He has scored a goal for Liverpool! Iago Aspas, the man paid more for taking the worst corners in the history of the beautiful game, has just scored a striker's goal! Striker! Iago Aspas, it is 1-0 to teammate. The ball through from Gerrard. He deliberately plays the ball off the ball sack of Mamadou Sakho, and teammates have that. Look at his face! Look at his face! That might be the highlight of his entire career. Oh my days, teammates won, Team Ross nil.
What was the score, Ross?
Was it 2-0 in the end?
No, it was 1-0.
Was it only 1-0?
Yeah. No, every game I've lost 1-0, and like,
did it happen to be a free
kick?
Did
you have the strikes as well?
No. He had a shot from Aspas. It hit Sakho in the dick and went in the goal. That's how fucking freak it was. And somehow he's claiming victory like he's masterminding some fucking victory.
Can we just add, just for those of you who want to know what the final stats ended up as? I actually don't even have the final stats. Iago Aspas was man of the match with a 7.5 rating. It was it was 1-0. Dominated shots on target. You were going right in the first half. I don't think I had a shot in the first half, and then second half. You can watch that stream. It's on twitch.tv/MachGaming, M-A-Y-C-H gaming, all one word. You can check it out, and we'll put you'll see the highlight clip in already. With the finals Friday night, it's going to be on the Twitch channel again. But I need to find a way to get Pajak involved. I'll figure that out. Stay tuned to the Redmen TV Twitter. The other one that I always accidentally type in when I'm trying to type in our Twitch, because they've got the same first, four letters. Really, really annoying. Yeah, well done, Tom. Just checking my math there.
Yeah. I was literally counting fingers in my head.
I did that for mine with Darnay. blended as best I could.
We've got a couple of questions just quickly to get through. We're going to be doing more of your questions on the Q&A, which will be over on the redmentv.com. So you've got more of us answering more of your stuff. Head over there and sign up. We've got some brilliant stuff on there at the moment. Just done a wonderful interview with Liverpool legend and current Pro Evo commentator and, of course, Champions League commentator, Jim Beglin. Jimmy Chore is on there. Jose Enrique is on there. There's a whole host of other amazing stuff. Martin Kelly. We had Ryan McLaughlin, Liverpool under-23 star, joined us for the Being Liverpool watch-along last week, and then did the Aftermath show with us as well, lifting the lid on his time in Liverpool's pre-season training camp with the cameras rolling and Brendan Rodgers at his full Brent best. Highly recommend it, so go over and check all that out. One is a random one for you. It's a bit more highbrow than we would normally do. Ryan O'Donnell's book recommendations to get through the quarantine, not limited to LFC or sport in particular, but I finally got Bringing the Noise and it was an incredible read, must read in my opinion. Listen to the audiobook of John Bishop's Growing Old, blah 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 blah. I don't read many books. I tend to read comics more than anything else, if I'm being perfectly honest. So I've got my Marvel Unlimited app, which has been an absolute it's always a godsend, but it saved me more so than ever. I've been reading my way through Guardians of the Galaxy from like 2004, 2005 or whatever, which has been entertaining me. But has anyone got any proper book recommendations?
If you go in audiobooks, the Alan Partridge stuff is brilliant. It takes a while to get into, but as far as books goes, I prefer autobiographies. Yeah. I've got Perlows, which is a belter. Like, that's quality. Or, it's not an autobiography, but Soccernomics is a belter of a book. If you're a football fan, like, it's boss.
Yeah, I highly recommend Soccernomics. That is good. Go on, Errol.
Yeah, I've never read a book. not Yeah.
And what?
Like, of Mice and Men, and that when you're in school and you're reading, like, you'll read a paragraph and the next man will read a paragraph. I've done all of that kind of stuff. But, like, sitting... The last one I did try to read was that... Was it Jordan Belfort book or something?
Yeah.
The Art of Persuasion or something like that. Yeah. I must have read about halfway through that. I have listened to most of the audiobook for George Orwell's 1948 or 49. It's one of them. 1984, that's even better. So yeah, I've watched so that there's that one, that's the audiobook. But the other one that I've watched is The Secret, but I know there's a book version of that as well. So
you're not missing out, to be honest. They'll like books are a bit garbage.
Sorry,
I think if they're good enough, they're gonna get put in a film at some point.
You know what I mean? Exactly. Wait for the film.
I see, Tom, how many times have I attempted to read this book actually? Every time we've been on an away trip around Europe, something like that, I pick it up and it's like 10 minutes into a flight, I can't be arsed.
And then, or if we're there, we just find a bar instead. No, to be honest, like I'm with Ross. I don't care about like made up stories, to be honest with you. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was one I actually did read, but I'd rather read autobiographies. If I want to know about people, so it's usually comedians, like Limmy's autobiographies are great. Peter Kay's ones are quite good. I remember reading a Rod Stewart one. That was quite interesting because he's one of the first like rock stars, and it was him and Elton John fucking giving each other massive gifts for loads of money, and just his life was quite interesting. But I just don't really care about books. I'm sorry, right?
I must admit, like, books are amazing, but I don't have the... I read in bed, and it's harder to read. I'll read on my Kindle or whatever if I do read. Like I detective stories and stuff. So anything by Robert B. Parker, he wrote the Spencer stuff, and I've not watched it, but like that, they've just made Spencer Confidential. It's on Netflix with Mark Wahlberg. Like the character that's based on is amazing, and all the books are phenomenal. They're really good, all written from like the first person perspective, like all detective stories and thrillers and all that kind of stuff. And they're quite short, so you can get. Blast through them quite quickly. They're probably my favourite series, but I haven't read books. I'm the same as you. Like, autobiographies, I find a little bit easier. But like the physical act of reading paper books, it's the inconvenience of them. Which sounds mad because they've existed for hundreds of years, and I love books are great, but. I have this with comics. Like I still have trade paperbacks. I have physical copies of stuff because I like having a library of things. Because there are situations where you can't read a Kindle. Like you're on a beach, you can't read a tablet because it's too bright. So it's nice to have physical things and all that kind of stuff. But I
do have one actually. It's a series of books. Loads of people have kind of gone on about it, but I don't think many people know about it. It's called Harry Potter. So just get on.
Yeah. I just had this random thought.
I couldn't even finish the Harry Potter books when I was a kid. Do you know what I used to do? I'd read like three chapters of the first one, get bored of the story, and then start reading three chapters of the next one, and then be completely lost in the story because so much has happened.
Yeah. Sai's fuming right now, by the way. He's filming this just like, no, Harry Potter's great.
Harry Potter books are the greatest in the world. I just had a little like thought in my head there about like, you know, the two biggest podcasts and like probably like, you know, or content producers in the Liverpool scene is us and the Anfield Rap. And I imagine if we asked that question on the Anfield Rap, he would get some really good highbrow intelligence answers. And we've got everyone going, never read a book.
Books of shit.
Hey, don't get it twisted though. I've read a lot of scripts in my past life. I did a lot of acting when I was a kid, so I can read.
Yeah.
But I've never read my own screaming.
I can read.
Tom bearing books on the side, right? Because it's, you know, the better is heat, aren't they? At least I can get a use out of them. Yeah,
on that autobiography stuff, I've read some like Gordon Ramsay and Marco Pierre White ones. Like, they're dead interesting because like some of the stories that they tell, but also you're talking about like laid back reading, like, you know, obviously Renard like kind of swear or being like quite relaxed. It's like a dead easy read, but like some of the stories are fucking mental.
Anthony Bourdain's Kitchen Confidentials, good for that. Like, it just interesting people tell an interesting story. It's mad because like the Howard Marks book, Mr. Nice, is great.
Yeah.
And there's very much a time in everyone's life to read that book. He is one of the dullest human beings I've ever had the misfortune of being in the company of. He is so boring, but his life story is really interesting. But like, that's the thing. Autobiographies, when you're people who've done mad and interesting things, I must admit they are pretty good stuff. What's a good one in that regard? Bret Hart.
his ones pretty good for that kind of stuff, and loads of wrestling ones. But anyway, there you go. Oh, Bring the Noise, it was mentioned in the question, the Raphael Honigstein book. If you're looking for something right now just to kind of tide you over, I'd recommend that, because it gives a great insight into how Klopp got to where he is, talks through the mind stuff and the people around him, and you get a real idea and insight into his methodology, how he scouts players, how he works with players and all that kind of stuff. Really, really good stuff. And I actually did an interview with him that's on the YouTube channel at the moment, where we talk about that. So yeah, do go and watch that content as
Red
well.
Red Machine's good as well. Is it Red Machine? Cy Hughes' Red Machine's good. I've, to be fair, looking at it now, I've read Ring of Fire as well by Cy Hughes as well. Them kind of Liverpool-centric, yeah, autobiography kind of style of the players and the times of Liverpool are really interesting. But yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, we're going to wrap up there. We're going to take more questions, including which Star Wars planet would you like to live on? What are the things you can buy at a supermarket that will make the cashier person give you weird looks? An alternate universe, how the Liverpool life is different for Liverpool if Gerrard doesn't slip? Which Liverpool player would you most want to be in lockdown with, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? We might not do some of them, but we will definitely do a load of other ones on the Redmen Q&A. It's on the RedmenTV.com in video and in podcast form as well, as is all of our best content. You can get it in your podcasting apps on the go as well. I mean, look, you've got nowhere to go, but if you do get to go on your nice, you know, government conscripted 60-minute walk, then you can have us in your ears. What better? Thanks for watching, for listening, for giving 5-star reviews, and for subscribing to the YouTube channel as well. And we'll see you guys very, very soon. Ta-da.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.